Our Father, we do praise you that we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Please teach us more this morning of all that that means, the privilege that it is, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do please be seated. Well, good news. We've seen, haven't we? That's what Matthew's Gospel is all about. We follow Jesus. What's he been doing? He's been proclaiming the Gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And Matthew really, really does want us to grasp what this good news is and who it's for. So let's have a look at our next instalment. We've reached Matthew 15, page 989. Page 990, Matthew 15, and we'll pick it up where we left it. So we're beginning to read at verse 29. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up seven baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. Now let's remind us of what we've seen recently in Matthew. So chapter 14, Jesus fed the 5,000. Then he walked on the water. Then we had chapter 15, which began with Jesus being challenged on the issue of ritual washings. He responded, you remember, by explaining, by exposing that the natural state of every human heart was evil. Then last time we had that Canaanite woman, do you remember? She pleaded with Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus' response, well, it might have seemed uncaring. Maybe even harsh. Remember, he explained that he had come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yet the woman showed humility and, he told us, great faith. And that was evidenced when she said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And that brings us to today's passage and verses 29 to 31. There's those great crowds, the lame, the blind, the crippled, and the mute, brought to Jesus, healed by him. And I just wonder if that just slightly washed over us. We've heard that so many times before. In fact, even just at the end of chapter 14, Matthew told us, all who were sick were brought to Jesus, and as many as came to him were made well. So why does Matthew record these healings again? And so soon after the last summary like this, what does he want us to notice? Well, obviously, and maybe first of all, we must say that we can't hear enough times that into our broken, hurting, painful world that is so ravaged by the effects of sin, here is one who can make a difference. We should never get tired of this. Jesus should be ready to be telling us this again and again and again. We're all too familiar, but let's just say it. Had Jesus gone into, let's say, St. Thomas's Hospital, and he goes onto the ward for patients with chronic, debilitating, lifelong conditions, one by one, they would walk out healed. I mean, can you get your head around that? Well, in the first century, that is what happened before countless witnesses. And plenty themselves could speak of from personal experience that Jesus did this to them. So again, Matthew won't let us forget it. Here's a preview, here's a trailer of the perfect world to be enjoyed one day soon by all in Jesus' kingdom. But each time we've seen that, that's been on the agenda. But again, let's not forget what Matthew is telling us by recording this, namely, who can do this? We can't be told that often enough. It's Jesus, obviously. But more than that, notice the particular conditions that he highlights for us. And he does it twice, so we almost can't miss it. The lame, the blind, the crippled, and the mute. A little earlier in Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus told John the Baptist what he was doing, he highlighted the same conditions as these. Why? Well, because Isaiah, centuries beforehand, had spoken of what would take place when God, the Creator, stepped into our world, when he sent his King. Do you remember Isaiah 35? Tells us, "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the lame man leap like a deer, the tongue of the mute sing for joy." So in these astonishing acts of healing, again, here is God revealing himself by sending his Christ, the long-awaited promised King. But again, we've seen that before, and we could have worked that out already, but Matthew shows it again. Why again? And the key really comes with that little comment at the end of verse 31. This crowd responds, and they glorified the God of Israel. Maybe Matthew is checking, are we concentrating? Who would say something like that? It wouldn't naturally be made by those in Israel. That was their God. It alerts us to the fact this is being announced by those outside Israel. So we are by the Lake of Galilee at the side there, but we are on the eastern side, that is outside Israel, in Gentile territory. So work it out, therefore, all these miracles that are taking place are being done to Gentiles. Jesus is doing these miraculous works to those outside Israel. That should get us thinking, make us sit up and pay attention, especially after what we saw last week. Do you remember that Canaanite woman? Again, we read that, and on first reading, we might have thought, well, Jesus seems hesitant, even reticent to heal a Gentile. And that really matters, I think, for each of us here. Is it only that Jesus would do a healing like that almost under duress if you twist his arm? Yet the next thing Matthew records is that in Gentile territory, he clearly goes about performing the very same healings that he did in Israel. It's as if he's declaring he is God's promised King, but not just for Israel, but for all the world. Well, could that be true? Could it be that Jesus is a King for everyone? Verse 32, "Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion on the crowd, because they've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I'm unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.'" Now again, let's not lose sight of the obvious of what happens with this feeding of the 4,000. I wonder if you've ever been in St. Paul's when it's full, jam-packed for a service, people everywhere. Well, the church can seat 2,000 people. So just think about that. From this small packed lunch, Jesus can miraculously feed a crowd twice that size, even in terms of the men. But there were women and children, so let's say a crowd 5 times the size of a full St. Paul's from one packed lunch. It is staggering. All those people, full stomachs and leftovers. And again, that really happened. And yet, as we read verse 32, no doubt the sense of deja vu began to kick in yet again. Barely one chapter ago, the feeding of the 5,000. Now they're feeding the 4,000. And notice as well, on both occasions, this is the miracle Matthew records in detail. You might have thought, surely those healings would be the more impressive things to talk about. As we thought before, this is seemingly unnecessary, this miracle. Yes, they were hungry, but no one was starving. Why would Jesus do this and Matthew record it for us so carefully? Well, if you were here a few weeks back, you'll remember what we discovered at the feeding of the 5,000. The point is that the provision of bread is meant to bring to mind that Exodus rescue in the Old Testament, when God fed his people with manna from heaven. So this feeding is emphasizing what kind of king Jesus is, what he's come to do. He is Yahweh, the Lord God himself, and he's come to redeem, to rescue. And even as if to underline this connection yet again, notice at the end of this second feeding miracle, what does Jesus do? He crosses over the lake, just like after the last feeding, bringing to mind crossing the Red Sea back at the Exodus. Okay, but again, why again? Well, notice as we hear the account of the 4,000, it does have so much in common, doesn't it, with the feeding of the 5,000. Notice the repetition. There's lots of hungry people. There's a desolate place. There's dim-witted disciples. There's loaves and fish. There's the crowd sitting down. There's disciples distributing food, baskets of leftover. And I hope we are now seeing the point. The point is that it's the same. That if we saw that Exodus-type rescue that Jesus says he was doing for Israel, it's the same rescue for the Gentiles, for all the world. And we're meant to see the wonder of that, which I think is highlighted as we look at two further similarities in the two feeding accounts. Now, remember we've just heard about the Canaanite woman. We wondered, did Jesus actually care for her? Or even if he did heal her, did that leave Gentiles almost then from second-class citizens? But look at verse 32. Jesus initiates and prompts and is recorded for us, I have compassion on them. Of course Jesus cares. We knew that, and here is confirmation. So yes, there's an order to Jesus' mission, which is important. Jews first, then the Gentiles. But ultimately and essentially, the same compassion he shows towards his people, the Jews, he then shows towards the Gentiles. And that's emphasized then in the repetition in verse 37, which tells us, and they all ate and were satisfied. The same provision, the same satisfaction that Jesus gave to Israel, he gives to the Gentiles too. And that makes sense because Matthew has shown us that they both have the same need because of what he's put in between these accounts. That now makes sense. Why in between the two feedings did we get that encounter of Jesus with the Pharisees? Because it shows us the problem he's come to deal with is not issues with ritual washing, which might affect Jews and Gentiles in different ways. No, the problem goes far deeper to the heart. The evil that comes out of every heart. That's what needs to be addressed. And everyone has this heart problem. We all need rescue, or in Bible language, redemption. And Matthew 14 and 15 has shown us that's who Jesus is, the Redeemer for all people. And Matthew has worked hard and made us think so that we see it for ourselves, to be convinced Jesus has compassion for everyone. He provides for all. Everyone can be satisfied. No one is excluded. Anyone can experience healing and forgiveness and life. That is the good news of the kingdom. And maybe that is good news that you personally, or I, need to hear this morning. Sometimes when people hear a little bit about Jesus, see the wonder of who he is, they think, could Jesus really have anything to do with somebody like me? I'm so far away. Maybe Jesus is for other people, those maybe more into Christian things, the religious people, supposedly better people. Well, none of us deserve Jesus at all. But he is for us. Jesus is for you, whoever you are. And yet, hearing all this, we this morning could be thinking, well, this is all straightforward. I knew this already. Jesus, good news for all the world. But let's not be complacent. What we've seen in Matthew's gospel this morning, the world would disagree with violently. Our society increasingly views Christianity as divisive, intolerant, that Christians, if they must be Christians, must stay quiet, keep themselves to themselves. The message is viewed as an unacceptable imposition on our society today. So I wonder, are we really persuaded of what Matthew is telling us here? That this really is good news for all the world, whether they recognize that or not, but that they have the same need that Jesus can meet. Because the reality on offer is deliverance from sickness, from suffering, from death. What answer does the world have to those things? Reality is bountiful provision from a compassionate Saviour. Where else could the world find those things, whatever they might say? So it's important for God's people to be convinced that this is all about blessing for everyone. And of course they don't see that yet because their hearts are evil, but they still need Jesus. That Jesus is the only way for this heart issue to be dealt with. For those blessings of the new creation, if we believe Jesus really could do the healings like that trailer, that is good news for all to enjoy. Well, there's only one way to enjoy those things and more. Matthew is slowly building to that conclusion right at the end of his gospel, when the risen Jesus commands his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. So as we close, why not bring to mind the Principality Stadium, resounding singing, guide me, O thou great Redeemer. You'll know that song goes on, I am weak, but thou art mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. It's amazing, the Welsh feel that hymn is their own, and yet would they recognise they desperately need that bread from heaven? And any of the Welsh are very welcome to it. The Lord Jesus will give it to them, no exclusions. And yet, ironically, even though the Welsh won't take that bread for themselves, they'll still think the hymn is just for them. But it's not. In the same way that first century Israel might say that hymn is just for them, Matthew said no. That hymn is for everyone. The king and his blessings, his bread, are for all the people of the world, even for us. It's like that Canaanite woman. You and I do not deserve even the crumbs from under Jesus' table, but in his astonishing kindness, he has given us a feast. Let's pray as we close. Our Father, we do praise you for the compassion of our Lord Jesus, for all people, even for us. Thank you for the way that in Jesus we do see the fulfillment of your promises to bring blessing to all the peoples of the world. Would we delight in this wonderful Saviour you have given to us? And would we see this as the good news that it really is for all the world? And so with your help, share it for the good of many. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.